Good morning. If God's been good to you, say amen. We serve a good God. I'm excited to speak this morning. We're going to be looking at the book of 1 John. And why this is exciting is because the book of 1 John, this letter of 1 John, helps us have confidence and knowing where we stand with God, whether we're in right standing with God, or whether we are in wrong standing with God. This letter was written when the Apostle John, who's the one who penned this almost 2,000 years ago, in his old age, when he was probably in his later years of life. And this letter was written probably in the tail end of the first century. So this is old man John writing this epistle. And something that was taking place was there was now several generations after that first generation of people seeing Jesus. And there was now Christians, probably one or two generations of Christians, who had not seen Jesus in the flesh in his ministry here on earth. And so they are then floating in the same boat as you and I are in today of not personally being there. And then there's this false teaching that was starting to prop up during this time that continues on to this day, where there's this idea of this need of secret knowledge, of Jesus being just one piece of a puzzle to show this bigger picture, and that you need to have these secrets understood to be able to be a spiritual person. And so old man John is now speaking and refuting this doubt that Christians are beginning to be attacked with, of wondering, maybe I'm not in right standing with God. Maybe I don't know what I'm supposed to know. And I'm still lost because I don't have these secrets that these other people claim to have. And so this letter is for us to have confidence in knowing that what God has given us is more than enough for us to have right standing with Him. And that when the world says, hey, what you have is not enough, we can know that they are not telling the truth, that they do not have anything substantial, but that what we have in Christ is more than sufficient. So we're going to dive right into it, and this is the beginning of a series of looking at 1 John. We're going to be looking through chapter 1 today together. So, chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify it to you and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. So here John is demonstrating that he is worth listening to on this matter. There was people talking about that Jesus maybe wasn't even real, that maybe Jesus was just a spirit that showed up, or maybe he was the Holy Spirit possessing this man named Jesus for 3 years. There's a lot of false doctrines beginning to circulate at this time, and John is stepping in and saying, I was there. I saw him. I touched him. I was there. And so he's demonstrating to us that he is worth listening to and understanding who is this Jesus. And he's talking about the most important things here and showing that this is about the one who is from the beginning. That Jesus was not just the newest line of moral teachers. He wasn't just a trendy revolutionary bringing in new ideas of how to be a peaceful person. This is talking about the one who is from the beginning. So we're talking about God among us. This is Jesus Christ, a very completely unique person that has never been before in this way where God has walked among us, a profound moment in human history, in all time. And John is pointing back to the significance of Jesus's life here on earth, that he is God himself. He's from the beginning. He's uncreated, and he was here, and we saw him, and we touched him, and we lived with him, and this is real. This is not just a set of profound teachings. There is a profound person who is here with us, and we have connection to him, and that's the subject in which John is going to continue to unfold for us. So continuing on, John then goes on to say in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard and proclaimed to you, so that you may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. So John is showing us that he's not going to be keeping us out, that what he's going to be presenting and teaching and speaking is going to be inviting us in, that there's no different statuses, there's no different segregations between people that were with Jesus at the time to them people generations later, but that there's this unity, this fellowship with God and his people, and that what we will have is the same as what the apostles have. There's no secrets. There's no statuses. There's no like VIP status spiritually. There's no top tier different packages you can buy into or get into. Like it's this fellowship, this unity that is here. And also, is there anything better than having right standing with God? Than having fellowship with the one who's from the beginning? Have you ever been around somebody who's like a one-upper? You know what I'm talking about? Where you say something like, oh yeah, well this one time, and they like go a little. I've never wanted to be an astronaut so badly, except for like being able to be able to say I've been to the moon, because that would just kind of end the conversation there, I thought. It was just like, oh wow, you climbed Everest? Well, I've walked on the moon. Like it just, it's hard. What one-ups that? Well, fellowship with God of the universe would one-up that. And being able to be in fellowship with the holy, pure, omnipotent God, to sit at his table, to have that, what beats that? Nothing. And so there's no secrets. There's nothing hidden. There's nothing that is left out in being able. And what John is saying, like, this is what is being offered, that you may have fellowship with us. That is what he is proclaiming this and broadcasting this message. And that this fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. You can't top that. In verse 4 now, we also see that we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. And so this is the apostles fulfilling their duty, fulfilling their role, their purpose in the kingdom. And it's what Daniel read for us just moments ago in John 17, where Jesus is praying for the apostles and for you and I, that we, those who believe through their word, back in John 17, verse 20, the they there is the apostles. And so this looking, Jesus praying for all of us to be one and having that unity, John is writing these things here for this joy to be complete. And the our joy is God's joy, it's the apostles' joy, and it's our joy. That all of our joy would be complete by having this fellowship with one another. Because God wants you to be with him. The apostles want us to be with them. And we want to be with God and his people. And so like everybody wins with this. This is what all of us deeply, truly desire. What we were created for was to be in fellowship with God. And so what's being presented to you here is not just like, wow, that's really an interesting, cool idea. It's like, this is it. This is what life is about. You're looking for the meaning of life? Ta-da, we found it. Fellowship with God and fellowship with his people. That's what we're made for. Like a fish in water, like a bird to fly. I mean, it's like this is what humanity is created for. And so our joy will be complete when we have fellowship with the Father and the Son and with his people. So now, verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So again, going back to the eyewitness weight that John has in his words, he's like, this is what we heard from him and proclaimed to you. And so this isn't just John's commentary on things. This isn't just his spin on what happened. It's not a vision he just had in some cave somewhere. This is what he's taking what he's hearing from God and then handing it over to us. And this message, which is so simple, but so profound and deep, that God is light. So there's two big ideas that John presents through 1 John. God being light and God being love. And then the rest of this letter is unpackaging that and looking at it from different angles. So we're going to start doing that now with God being light. Light is something. Light is a thing. And light and darkness, in contrast, are not opposites, because an opposite is an equal to the other thing. Darkness is an absence of light. You see, something can always get brighter, infinitely brighter, but there's a moment in which something can get no darker because all the light is removed. Darkness is not a thing. Light is something. God is substantial. He is something. And anything that's not having that light in it, anything that is godless, is what this darkness is. It's not something else. It's just an absence of that light. It's the same with hot and cold. Heat is something. Cold is nothing. Cold is just the absence of heat. Same with life and death. Life is something. Death is not a thing. Death is just the absence of life. So God being this source which can infinitely increase is a profound statement, a profound idea of God being light. And then also you think about what light is and what light does and how necessary light is for anything really to take place in life. And there's also an important message of purity in this verse, that in God, that he is light, and that in him is no darkness at all. That's something that we take for granted a lot in our theology, is the lack of darkness in God. Can you imagine if God was 99% light, or 99% good, but 1% evil? That if God could have an off day, if he could drop the ball, if he could act like us for a moment and lash out or be selfish or to neglect, do you know how terrifying that would be? How truly none of this could even work. But that God has never, ever done anything dark, that he has been light from the beginning, from before the beginning, because it's who and what he is. He is light itself. He's not just a good God. He is goodness itself. He's not just a loving God. He is love itself. But it makes me appreciate him more when I step back and remember that God has no darkness in him. He is completely trustworthy. We talked about that a couple months ago with the youth, and I think I might have mentioned it here, but I don't remember, so I'm going to say it again, where we forget how important purity is a lot of the times, where if you ever had a bowl of Cocoa Puffs, and for those who don't know, they're these little chocolate spheres that you eat as cereals, and they're about the size of a pea. They're also about the size of most rabbit droppings. And so if you were to have a bowl, a big bowl of Cocoa Puffs, and just one of them was a rabbit dropping, would you eat said bowl of cereal? Even though over 99% of that bowl is pure cereal. There's just a little bit of impurity in there. We recognize that's contaminating, and that is a trip to the hospital I don't want to take. So that type of impurity, we recognize that's not good. God has this total purity, this total light, and that's something that should not be neglected. And also, sometimes this world is crazy and feels dark, and we want to shake our fist at God and say, like, why would you let this happen? You know, and we have this trap sometimes we can fall into is like, if this happened, then that means God's not good, if there is a God. And this is an important theological statement to be reassured of, that in God, or God himself, has no darkness in him whatsoever. He is pure light. He is pure good. So moving, and also with him being the light, it's important for it to let him define what light is, that God is the standard. And so that's something John's establishing here too, that he is light, that God is light. We don't get to define what the light is. God has established what the light is. And that's an important point as we move forward. So moving into this next verse with that in mind, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So John uses this word walk a lot in his writings, especially here in 1 John. And walk is a figurative term for how you live. And it's a really good word to describe how you live, because if you think about to walk, it's a subtle thing, it's a simple thing that to walk, but it takes something on the internal and the external to walk. There's things going on the inside and the outside to walk. There's a difference between walking and being dragged somewhere, because walking is a choice to go in a certain direction. And right now, I'm moving my limbs, I'm also not walking. Walking is to have a direction that you're going. And so to say that this idea, we're going to get into it big time here, this next verse, but this idea of walking is an inward and outward action, where there's a choice to be made for where you're going to walk, and then there's also the choice of making those feet go one in front of the other. And we see here, too, this big, this great word here, we see here the first qualifier, disqualifier in John's writings. And what I mean by that is John is going to start giving a list. He's going to do this throughout the five chapters of 1 John, where he's going to say, if this is happening, then you have right standing with God. If this is happening, you do not have right standing with God. And so we call them qualifier disqualifiers, where he's going to lay out many times, and if you have different colored pens, these are good things to underline and highlight to mark, okay, this is what walking in the light looks like. This is what walking in the light does not look like. This is what right standing with God looks like. This is what not right standing. Basically, lost and saved. Christian, non-Christian, because again, the false teaching was coming in of this is what it really means to be spiritual. And John is giving us clarity for this is what spiritual life actually looks like. This is what darkness actually looks like. And so here's the first one, that if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So when there is that type of disconnect, that is a disqualifier. That is a sign that individual is not a spiritual person, and that person is not in fellowship with God. They are not practicing the truth. So now, one of the most famous passages from this chapter: but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If you believe that's some good news, say amen. Amen. That we can have cleanliness from sin. I hope that never becomes old news to you. That there can be fellowship with one another, fellowship with God, and cleansingness from sin. I hope that never gets old. So let's get into this. To live in the light, to walk in the light. And remember, the light needs to be as he defines it, because God is light. And so if we walk towards him, if we're thinking about him, when we're moving towards him, then we have this right standing with God. And the rest of this series is going to be looking at this very thing, but from different angles. Now, walking in the light is not about an elegant performance. It's not about how well you walk in the light. It's about the direction that you're going. That's a really important thing, because sometimes we think, am I doing enough? And if you're thinking that way, we're thinking about things wrong. Because it's not about, are we doing enough? It's about, what direction are you going? It's not about the speed in which you're going. It's not about your form and how well you're walking and running. It's, are you going in that direction? It's not about performance. It's not about eloquence. It's not about your abilities. It's about, what direction are you going? And if God is the one that you are walking towards, if you recognize he is light, I want to walk in that light. I want to think in that light. I want to move in that light. And you don't want to leave him. You're going to move towards him. Then all sin is covered. And this is something so exciting, is when you look at this verse and you think about how much sin is being removed. It's not just the sins of your past that's being removed here. It's the sins of your past, your present, and your future. All of it is going straight back to the cross, to being paid for by Jesus. Your salvation is not just this light switch dynamic that just on off as we stumble in many ways, but it is when we're in this light walking towards God, it is all 100% constantly gone back to Jesus. And it's this firm foundation of salvation in Jesus that you can face plant in the light walking, and that's okay. I look at my kids when they're learning how to walk. They eat it all the time. But just because they eat it doesn't mean they stay on the ground. They get up and learn how to walk more, and they get better at walking, and they face plant less as they get older. But the point is, they are continuing to choose to walk. And that is the beginning of our main point today, is choosing to walk in the light. We recognize that God is the light. I'm not the light. You're not the light. God is the light. And I want to live in that. And I'm going to pursue that and walk in that. And when we walk in that, there's now a cleanliness from all sin. I don't want to get too deep into the Greek here, but the words for this, cleansing us from all unrighteousness, this is something that happened in the past that has continual action forever, and it can't be turned off. Like, it's just something. Jesus has done this for everyone, and people can have access to it if they want to, but they just need to be walking in the light. And it is this ongoing cleansing that Jesus is causing because of what he has done. And I want to talk about here the fellowship that's being described in this verse, because this is a big point as well. That when we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have this fellowship with one another. The one another here is being able to have fellowship with the one who is light, to have fellowship with God. And that when you walk in the light, you're not in there alone, because God is that light. And when you're walking in the light, you have fellowship with him. And the blood of his son cleanses us from all sin. So being able to walk with God is walking in the light. Sometimes in scripture, we can read over things, or we read things that are too fast, or we get too familiar with things, or we forget to think about the weight of certain words. And that the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from how much sin? All. Those are three letters. Huge meaning. All is a big word. All. That's not just most. That's not just a lot. That is all. How many is all? That's a lot. And I'm just thinking about me. let alone all of you and everyone else and anyone else that has been or will be, that all that Jesus' blood can handle it all. That is a big word. And it shows just how much our God can handle. So, continuing on. Verse 8. We have the qualifier in verse 7. Now we have another disqualifier. Verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Jesus talks about many times in many ways this idea if he came to heal the sick, not the healthy. If we don't recognize we need a savior, then Jesus is not for us. And this is something that we should never let go of our recognition of, I need a savior. I have sin in my life, and that sin is going to the cross. I continue to sin. Now I am trying to sin less, and I am walking in the light, but I'm in constant need of Christ. I am in constant need of my Savior. And what's sobering about this verse is self-deception is possible. That we can deceive ourselves when we say, oh, I have not sinned, or I have no sin. And this isn't just talking about admitting that we've sinned in the past. Like, oh yeah, I used to be a real mess. That's not what this is talking about. This is about if I say I have no sin right now, then I am deceiving myself. What happens is when I sin now, that sin goes not just to me, then to Christ. That sin I commit goes straight to the cross. And I'm continually in right standing with God because of Jesus. But there is a deception we have if we think that I got this figured out. I am now a sinless person in that I commit no more sins. Now, self-deception can take lots of different forms. This is, I think, a funny story, but it's also telling and something that I'm very much susceptible to as well. I remember I was at men's group years ago, I think it was like 5-6 years ago, men's group here, and we were all talking and beginning our group together, and some of you may remember this and were there. I was facilitating our time together, and I asked a question of how gullible are the people in our culture today? And it was, oh man, people believe anything. They'll read things on the internet and they'll just buy. People are so easily deceived. And I said, how gullible are we? Oh, we're not gullible. We got things. You know, we can see things. We see things clearly. And while certainly Scripture and Christ are a guide and a lamp, and they give us sobriety and wisdom and discernment, we need to be cautious to recognize, like we see from this verse, that it's possible for us to deceive ourselves and to be sensitive to that. We're very, very good at explaining things away, justifying our actions, and convincing ourselves of things that we want. And so taking time to recognize, I need a Savior all the time. There's not a time in which I don't need Christ. He is always needed in my life. I always want him to sit right next to me every day. I do not ever want to be by myself, away from him. A very special person once, to me a while ago said, my dirt's not cleaner than your dirt. And what happens when we forget that is we become superior. We become gatekeepers. We become what we think is supposed to be the example to the world of what purity and righteousness looks like. And it's not me. It's Christ. If I'm trying to get people to look like me instead of look like Jesus, I have been deceived. And so this verse should at the very least slow us down to contemplate, do I say I have no sin? Because what that looks like is the poor in spirit the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. And a poor in spirit is, without Jesus, I am totally bankrupt. And that's true all the time, not just before I knew Jesus. So the truth is not in you if we think we have no sin. And that is a very important qualifier and disqualifier. So now we're going to get into our last verse in this lesson, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Confession is something that we struggle to do for lots of reasons. But confessing our sins is so important because it sucks away the power of sin. To be able to say it, to be able to recognize it, to bring it to the surface, and to be able to say the truth, because it's not like a discovery. It's something that's known there by us. It's known there by God. But now there's something beginning to harmonize where we're now saying the truth, that these are things that I have seen, things that I have done. And when we do that, there is an amazing thing that takes place, that God is, one, faithful, which again goes back to him having no darkness, that God has never been unfaithful. Think about that. That God has never handled something wrong. That God has always done the right thing for everyone throughout all time. He has never messed up. So he can handle what's going on in our lives. We can give it to him. He is so trustworthy. That is a comforting thing, knowing that he's going to be able to do the right thing with us. And on top of that, we also see here that he is just. This is really important to understand about our dynamic with God, that he is just to forgive our sins. That the forgiveness of our sins is not just him demonstrating mercy and saying, I could kill you right now, but I'm just choosing not to. Or it's not just saying, I'm going to let you live, even though, and it's because I'm just the biggest fish in the sea, and all these other spirits or your accusers, you know, they would want to kill you, but they don't really want to argue with me, so I'm just going to force you into right standing. That's not how this works, but there's a legitimacy to us having right standing with God because the price has been paid legitimately through Jesus. And so when our sins are forgiven and cleansed and removed from us, it's not just God finding a loophole to fit us through, that it is a legitimate right standing with God because of what God has done through Jesus. And so that is a comforting thought, to know that this is the real deal. This isn't just something God is forcing to happen because nobody can argue with him. That we can have a legitimate right standing with God, fellowship with him, and part of that happens through confessing, through being truthful, to saying what's already real, and just not deceiving ourselves. Do we have things we need to confess? Do we got things on the inside we should let be on the outside? Is there something God can't handle that's in here? It's like, what are we afraid of? Are we afraid if we say it, it'll become real? It's already real because it's already happened. Now, what we're usually afraid of is rejection, afraid of our reputation being not something we don't want it to be. And this is where we come in when we recognize my dirt's not cleaner than your dirt. When that's in place, now there's a trust in each other here that can then be built upon. But I want to say this, that God can handle anything that's going on in your life. And I want you to know that. And if you've been stealing, if you've been cheating on your spouse, if you've killed somebody, God forgives. He can handle that. And we want to be honest with God. We don't want to deceive ourselves. And so now there's certainly like social and like legal things and consequences to our actions. But on a spiritual level, sin is paid for on the cross. And that's some good news. And we want to go through that together here. And if anyone has done anything and they're wanting to walk in the light, then we join arms with them. And we want to go through this life with you towards God. So no matter what you've done, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what sins you've committed, be free of it by confessing it and being harmonizing with the truth. And in doing so and giving that up to God, there is some good news that there's forgiveness for those sins, that there can be legitimate right standing with God. And it's not through any secret knowledge. It's through the simple truth of Jesus, who has come and paid the price for us all. Verse 10 goes back to verse 8 and saying that if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. It's an audacious thing to think about calling God a liar. But if we say we have not sinned, if we say we have no sin, then that's what we're doing. Because God's saying all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if we're like, nah, not me, one of us is wrong, and it's not God. And this is, again, one of those qualifier disqualifiers, where if you and God are disagreeing about who has sinned, then there's not fellowship there. So I want to conclude with, from this first chapter in 1 John, is being able to recognize, to have confidence in having right standing with God. And knowing that God is light, we want to walk in that light. And if we're choosing to walk in that light, there's forgiveness from all sins. And that light, God's light, God himself, is what's important. This world does not need new laws, new economies, new cultures. It doesn't need new stuff. It needs light. Your life, my life, we don't need new experiences. We don't need new romances. We don't need new stuff. We don't need more time. We need light. And there's only one source of light. It's God and his son Jesus. And if that's what we pursue, everything's all right. Everything's all right. If we are pursuing him, if he is in us, if we live in him, everything's okay. And that's some good news to bring to a very dark world, that there is light. And it's not me, but it's in me. And I hope it shines out from me. And I know it shines out from you too when we walk in the light. So as encouragement today, be real. Be honest. Don't leave here today without talking to somebody here and confessing to God just what's real. If we're struggling with something, be transparent with that and know that there is forgiveness and that there's right standing with God and fellowship with him, and that we can go on walking with him forever. Let's not deceive ourselves in thinking that we're good enough by ourselves, because we're not. So if there's anyone here that needs help from the church or would like to begin walking in the light by being baptized and being added into the kingdom, please let us know if there's anything we can do to bless you or be of service while we stand and sing this next song.